Well, welcome everybody. It's lovely to be here and to see everybody this morning. And a particular welcome if you're visiting us or if you are quite new to St Andrews. You're very, very welcome here. If you don't know me, my name is Judith Keane and I'm one of the lay ministers and I'm going to be leading our service today. Just before we get started, I've just got a few notices I particularly wanted to highlight. You will have seen some others scrolling through. So I'd like to highlight the waiting room this Wednesday at All Saints. Sorry, I'm not sure of the time. Does anyone?
Seven till eight,
up at All Saints. A ladies' breakfast moved from Fawn, where it was tended to be, to Wetherspoons, so just note that. So any women, very welcome to come along to that event, get to know each other and have a good chat over breakfast. And then one really to highlight. So Unity Service, part of the church is together, as it says there, next Sunday at Malvern Baptist Church, and commissioning Denise Ditchburn as the Christians Against Poverty manager. Some of you might know that Chris, who faithfully set up and led that work, has now retired, and Denise is going to be taking over and being commissioned. So it would be lovely, I'm sure, for her to have some support there as she takes on that really important work. So lots more going on. One thing I would particularly mention that we haven't got a slide for here, we have got another Who's Coming to Lunch coming up. That's on Sunday the 5th of February. If you haven't done a Who's Coming to Lunch, it's an opportunity to either host people to come to lunch or to sign up to be hosted. And it's a great way of getting to know some new people, perhaps people you don't know very well. We mix people from here and All Saints, and it's a really nice time to get to meet a few people over lunch in somebody's home. So there is a sign-up sheet outside if you're interested in that. Lots more information, as it says there. Do either have a look on the website or you can sign up for the mailing sheet that comes out with every Friday with lots of information on it. So, today we are carrying on with our series, which we started last week, of We Are the Church. And today we're thinking about being whole life disciples and what it means to follow Jesus. And Dave is going to be coming and sharing with us a little bit later on that subject. But I was thinking about following. And sometimes it's really important, isn't it, and helpful to have something that we can see and that helps us to know where to go and gives us support and help if we're struggling a little bit. And so I thought it'd be great to start with a song that thinks about those things and talks about how Jesus really is a light for us. He's a lighthouse that we can follow. So we've got some instruments here if the young people would like to come and grab one. And then if you're able, do please stand and we're going to sing together that wonderful song, My Lighthouse.
Your grace,
you like to take a seat? And thank you, everyone, for the rhythm section down there. That was brilliant. Thank you so much. Well, I think it kind of hints in that song, doesn't it? Sometimes it's not easy following Jesus. And, we're talking about being whole life disciples. So some of us have been following Jesus for quite a long time. So I got thinking about what helps us. So I've got a couple of people who volunteered to come and say what helps them. So Tara and Simon, would you like to come up? Do I need to switch this on? And is this on, by the way? Ooh. Sorry, technical expert here. Thank you. Pressing hard enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I've asked Simon and Tara just say a little bit about how they came to follow Jesus and what's maybe one thing that really helps them to keep going. Okay, Simon.
So I became a Christian in my mid-30s, which is 25 years ago. I know that'll be very hard for you to believe, but that's true. My wife actually got involved with the church, and our son's autistic, and people in church were just so kind to him, and that just got me thinking, there's something about this church thing, and it just went from there, really. I gradually became a Christian. No great moment, flash of whatever, but just the kindness of strangers, really.
And what do you find helps you to keep going? As you're saying, that's been, one or two years since then.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So, I was thinking about this, and I was going to say, it's taught me the importance of relationships, and, I've become a better husband as a result of this, which I think is probably true. But I spoke to my wife, and she said, well, in some ways, Simon. So I think my wife was sent to keep me humble, and that's certainly the case. But I also wanted to say something that's really important to me. Both Tara and I have done quite a lot of youth work together over the years, and one of the things that really, really gives joy to my heart, today... a young lady called Daisy is leading Pathfinders, and she came to Pathfinders as an 11-year-old. She used to come fairly irregularly. She used to ask the hardest questions of me. She was very sceptical, but now she's got baptized, and she's volunteered to become a leader, and that really gives me a joy that is just indescribable.
Thank you very much. Tara, what about you?
Yeah, a bit different. So I grew up in the church, really. I was taken along to church, probably as a baby in arms, by my mum, a small village church over in Suffolk. And I spent my childhood growing up there, hugely influenced by the rector there and his family. And I think the most influential time at church was when I was a Pathfinder. There were some great Pathfinder leaders who I actually went on to be influenced in my career that I took. They did a lot of tear fund work, and I went and did some work overseas in Africa as well after hearing about their work. And so I think I'm very much influenced by the people around me. And also, being a Pathfinder, I went to lots of cipher camps, which were short overnight stays or a week-long activity camp, and that just was such a huge impact on my life, just meeting with lots of other Christians and sharing with them. And I think now I'm involved with children's work, which to me is a boost and keeps me going, because hearing what the children say, they say things in a different way, and I learn a lot each week when I'm doing children's work, so it's brilliant.
Thank you both so much. Thank you. Well, isn't that interesting? We all have different stories and we all have different things that help us, but obviously the encouragement of each other is really important. And I don't know if, Dave, you're going to mention life groups, but that's one way that we can get together with other people and make sure we're encouraged. One of the things I find really helpful to keep going is actually having words of scripture, words from the Bible and verses from the Bible that I've learnt over the years. And if I'm in a difficult time or feeling struggling or I'm having doubts, sometimes God will bring a verse into my mind that really helps me. So I thought this morning we'd bring those two things together. So we're going to learn a verse together, and then we're going to encourage each other to remember it, I hope. And just to warn you, I'm back next week because I'm preaching, so I might be checking up on whether, on how well we've done. And I will say now, I've got a memory like a goldfish now. So, you know, no blame if you do forget it. But let's have a go at learning a verse together. So I've... There we go. I'm sorry. I got these in the wrong order, didn't I? That wasn't very clever. So we were talking about Jesus being our lighthouse. So I thought we would learn a verse together about Jesus being light. And hopefully it's not too long to learn. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask the people on this side of the church to say the verses in yellow, the words in yellow. And the people on that side, can you say the words in white? And we will do that two times, and then we'll swap over. So let's start. Words in yellow, words in white, and we'll say it through twice. So let's go. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. Right, let's try again. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. Right, now we're going to swap over. Okay, so you're going to go for yellow this time. Ready? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. Right. So I haven't given you anything to write this down, so you'll have to remember that. So John 8:12, remember this. And maybe during the week, you might like to have a look at that verse again and remind yourselves about it. Have a think about it. You know, if you've got family or children and you say prayers at night or read the Bible together, maybe you'd like to have a look at that verse. And let's just encourage each other to try and remember that verse. And maybe if you're going through a tough time or a dark time, that will be helpful to you in the future. So thank you for joining with me on that. And now what we're just going to say together is we're just going to remember the kind of God that we're following. So we're just going to say some words together that say what we believe. So let's say this together. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith, and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's the God we're following. And our young people and children are going to leave us now, so let's just pray for them. Heavenly Father, we do pray that our young people and our children and their leaders too would learn more about you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how you want to lead us through life and bring us fulfillment as we learn more about you. We thank you so much for our young people and their leaders and pray that you would bless them now. Amen. Okay, so our young people are going to leave. And then we're going to have a time of sung worship where we think a little bit more about the God who we follow.
Like to stand.
that you don't leave us to struggle on alone, but that you wanted to be close to us, you wanted us to have a relationship with you, so you sent our Lord Jesus to show us the way. Thank you that you are faithful in all your promises, and that we can know you if we seek to find you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you like to take a seat and we're going to have our readings?
We have three passages this morning. The first is from Mark chapter 1, and it's on page 1003 in the church Bibles. Actually, it's 1002. Mark 1, verses 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And then we turn over the page into chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have authority to drive out demons. And then we're going to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25, and that's page 1208. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to be with you. And to continue this series, which we started last week, of We Are the Church. And we are looking at series over the next 5 or 6 weeks to say, what is it that God's called us to be? And we particularly talked last week that it's not just the church is not the building, but the church is the people. And what is God calling us as the people of God, as the church, the people to be? Last week we looked at devoted worshippers. And today we're going to think about what it means to be whole life disciples following Jesus. So let's first pray. Lord, thank you for these words which we have just heard from your scripture. And I pray as we reflect on them that they would come alive to us, that you would breathe on the words I share with power, that we would be transformed to be the people you've called us to be. Just take away distractions, open our hearts and our ears this morning to hear what you want to say to each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I wonder how many of you have used or heard the expression, "I've invited Jesus into my life." Often it's an expression that's been used to express the process of someone becoming a Christian. They've prayed the prayer and they've invited Jesus into their life. But the older I get, if I'm really honest with you, the more I struggle with that phrase. Because you see, when Jesus called those first disciples, he didn't say to them, "Can I come and join your life?" He said, "Come follow me." He said, "Come and walk with me. Leave behind your nets, your old way of life, and come on an adventure with me. Come and live a new life with me." You know, that was the invitation from Jesus to those disciples, to leave their old life behind. And it says they left their nets to join Jesus and to follow him. Now just think for a moment, how did the disciples feel at that moment? Just, we're going to be a little bit interactive today. Shout out, you know, this guy comes along that they've never met before, says, "Leave your nets and come follow me." Scared. Excited. Confused. Shocked. Yeah. Why me? All sorts of things. A whole load of emotions, isn't it? Just ponder that one. Go away and ponder that one. But let's think about, you know, who were those first disciples? Well, actually, they were fishermen, weren't they? There's a lovely, one of my favourite verses in the Bible is Acts 4:13, where some religious leaders, this is after Pentecost, they've done a whole load of miracles. They say, these guys are ordinary, unschooled men who had been with Jesus. I love that phrase. Ordinary, unschooled men who'd been with Jesus. You know, these were normal people like you and me. Perhaps rougher and a bit more with warts and all, I suspect. You know, they didn't know much, and they came with all the baggage that we all come with. You know, I love the fact that actually two of the people in the passage today, in Mark 1, James and John, were called the Sons of Thunder. Now, just imagine if you were given the nickname the Sons of Thunder. Why might that be? You can just imagine, probably, can't you, that they probably had a bit of a temper. They probably were all over the place and not quiet, nicely, "I'll do whatever I'm told" people. But these were the guys that Jesus chose. And he chose to invest a lot of time in these normal people who were rough and ready, who were willing to say, "Yes, I will follow Jesus." And by the time Jesus had finished with them and the Holy Spirit had come and empowered them at Pentecost, you know, these unschooled, ordinary, rough and ready, warts and all people, in God's power, changed the world. So what happened? What was the key to their transformation? What did Jesus invite them into? Well, if you've got your Bibles, just turn to that passage we read in Mark 3. I'll stick it up on the screen too, but it's good to check that what I've got up on the screen is what you've got in the Bibles too. And again, this is another one of my favourite verses. Jesus appointed the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. He appointed them to be with him and to be sent out. And I want us to reflect on those things. We'll particularly think about the sending out next week when Judith comes and says it. But let's have a think about what does it mean that Jesus appointed them to be with him? Because actually what he invited them to was to do life together. You know, these disciples were with Jesus for 3 years, day in, day out. You know, I did a quick totting up of hours on that. I reckon, look, 9 hours a day with Jesus, 365 days for 3 years. Mathematicians, what does it come out as? It comes out as about 10,000 hours. Now, I thought that was really interesting because, you know, what they do say, don't they, is if you want to get good at something, you actually have to practice it for 10,000 hours. Might be nothing, but I thought that was quite interesting. I think there was other things at play here as well with Jesus and the disciples. But actually, Jesus spent a lot of time with a few people. And in that time, they learnt from Jesus, didn't they? You know, Jesus' teaching, Jesus taught them the parables, what God was like, how to live. But it wasn't just sitting under teaching, was it? You know, Jesus, they learned from Jesus from his life, from watching how he responded to people, how he responded to different situations, who he spent time with, how he had fun, how he went to parties, how he rested, how he laughed, how he mourned. You know, Jesus invited them into his life so they could see the whole of life and how he did the whole of life. And part of that was actually them seeing how Jesus engaged with his Father, particularly through the rhythms of prayer. Jesus going off early in the morning to go and be with his Father, coming down and saying, actually, no, this is the way we need to go now. You know, that's the next bit in Mark 1. They saw Jesus. Jesus taught them rhythms of living with God. And actually being with Jesus also enabled them to see how to minister. You know, I love the fact that these disciples learn on the job, didn't they? You know, Jesus said, come and watch me, first of all. And then he said, come and take part with me. You know, feeding of the 5,000, they would be part of it. And then Jesus said, you go out and do it now. You know, Jesus taught them to minister. That was partly what it was doing life with Jesus, was seeing everything about how Jesus lived. You see, it wasn't simply learning in a Bible study or in a classroom. Jesus invited them to be with him in the whole of life. There's a great ancient Jewish blessing which goes like this. It says, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Rabbis being the teachers. And the idea was that a rabbi, the teacher's disciples, their followers, were to follow so closely behind their rabbi that when they walked, they would become caked in the dust which he kicked up with his feet. And you see, the goal of a disciple, of a rabbi, was not merely to master the rabbi's teachings. It was to master his whole way of life, how he prayed, how he studied, how he taught, how he served the poor, how he lived out his relationships with God day to day. You know, that was what they were invited into. And I wonder whether too often we've reduced discipleship simply to how much we know. We measure people's maturity on how well they know their Bibles. And yes, knowing the Bible is important, but it's not the end in itself. You know, actually Jesus would say the sign of maturity is how Christ-like we are. How like our Jesus we have become. And you see, that's what happened to the disciples. These disciples over 3 years became transformed more like Jesus because they spent time with Jesus. And I think it's really interesting, you know, I hadn't really clocked this until this week, that those sons of thunder, who did they become? Well, James was the first disciple to be martyred, it seems. And John, what was he known as? The beloved disciple. Isn't that quite a far cry from the sons of thunder? The sons of thunder become the martyred disciple and the beloved disciple. I think that suggests that actually quite a bit of transformation happened with them because they'd been with Jesus. So the being with Jesus, but also the sending them out. You know, what did Jesus do? Well, he sent them out. You know, they were learning for a purpose. They were learning to be sent out. They weren't just to stay in that holy huddle. And actually, when Jesus had gone, of course, you know, they went out and they, in the power of the Spirit, they continued the mission of Jesus to proclaim the good news, to bring freedom to the captives. It says here, you know, in Mark 3, that they went and cast out demons because they had the authority of Jesus. You know, Jesus invited them not just to be with him, but to be sent out to join his mission. Being with Jesus, being sent out. And I think the really significant thing is, as I've reflected on this, that what the order that comes is really important. You know, Jesus invited them to be with him. And as they were with him, they were empowered and transformed to be sent out. You know, the being with Jesus empowered them for the sending out. But that's the 12 disciples. What's that got to do with us? Jesus didn't call us to be a disciple, did he? Well, what was the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples? He said, therefore go and make churchgoers of all nations who sit in the pew and take on a lot of sermons and don't do very much else. No, he didn't, did he? He said, therefore go and make other disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do all that you've seen me do, in effect. You know, they were to be disciples who made disciples. And as they made disciples, and as they made disciples, and they made disciples, gradually along the line, that comes to us. And so that call to be a disciple is a call to us too. To be a disciple who makes disciples. Not just to come and be a churchgoer and come and just have, you know, an extra comfort in our lives before we've got God. But we too are called to those things that actually those first disciples were called to. And this is the heart of our vision here at St. Andrew's and All Saints. You know, one of our really important vision lines in our church vision, to grow, the way we describe it, grow whole life, lifelong disciples. Whole life because it's about the whole of our lives. It's about what happens out there, not just about even more than what happens in here. You know, in our families, in our work, in our hobbies, in our rest, all of that to be disciples, followers of Jesus. And it's lifelong because actually it isn't just a case of, well, I've become a Christian and I'm sorted now and I've got everything sorted. I've got my ticket to heaven and I'll just get on with it and go to church and have a million and one sermons and be nice. You know, Jesus invites us to continue to learn. I know. I feel after 10 years of ministry that I've got even more to learn than when I started. The more you know and the more you meet different people, the more you realise how much we all have to learn and to grow. And back in 2020, remember that year? Just before the pandemic hit, we actually, last time I preached on this, we actually came up with our own sort of church definition of discipleship. Some of you will have seen this before. Many of you have joined the church since and won't have seen it. And I talk about it being three-dimensional discipleship. And it starts by that phrase of by God's grace. You know, this isn't just hard work on our part, but this is by God's grace, God at work in us. By God's grace, we seek to, well, firstly, there's the up dimension. And you might recognize where that comes from. We seek to be with Jesus, to know him, and to walk with him in the whole of our life. The in dimension, you know, to become more like Jesus in our character. And the outward dimension, to be sent out to live like Jesus in our context, on our front line, the places we find ourselves Monday to Saturday. Be with Jesus, become more like Jesus, live like Jesus. the three dimensions of discipleship. Back in the summer, we particularly talked about becoming more like Jesus when we talked about the Fruit of the Spirit series. Next week, Judy is particularly going to focus on the out, the what does it mean to live like Jesus, be salt and light on our front lines. But just for the last few minutes today, I want to just take a little bit of time to think, what does it mean to be with Jesus, the up? You know, we can't be like the first disciples were with Jesus physically with us. I'd have loved that, wouldn't you? I'd have just loved to have been one of those first disciples. What an amazing experience it would have been. But that's not where we find ourselves. But in some ways, we have a whole load more than they had. Because we have that big picture of Scripture. We have the stories of Jesus. We know the end of the story. And how are we called to be with Jesus? Well, we're called, one way is to simply be with Jesus in the Scriptures. You know, just as those first disciples watched Jesus' life up close firsthand, we can actually watch Jesus' life by reading Scripture, by particularly reading the Gospels. How did Jesus respond? Who did Jesus spend time with? What was important to Jesus? How did Jesus have his rhythms of God? Let's learn from Jesus by watching his life, by reading Scriptures and particularly the Gospels. It's about being with Jesus in our rhythms of prayer, isn't it? You know, having those time each day to spend with Jesus in prayer. One of the great opportunities, I literally have had this through on Friday afternoon. Some people here, several people in this church have done what's called a week of guided prayer before. Often it happens in June, but there's a couple of people from other churches in Malvern who offer a week of guided prayer where you actually meet with a prayer guide for about half an hour each day over the course of a week. And they just accompany you as you learn to pray differently. Now, this is coming up March the 19th to 25th. It's earlier this year. And I think, you know, these are just going out. There are limited places. But I really encourage you, particularly if you've been a Christian a while and just want to do something new, just think about doing the week of guided prayer. There's some leaflets outside, or come and talk to me about it. Who's done it? Hands up if you've done it here. Is anyone here? Look at the hands. Roger, I can't see who's at the back. Mike and Christine, is that? And Colin over there. Go and chat to them. Silence and stillness, you know, being with God. I'd encourage you to go to the waiting room this week on Wednesday, 7 to 8, up at All Saints. Just be with God in the stillness. Allow him to meet you and transform you. Worship, we talked about last week. I think for me, one of the most significant things, shifts in my Christian life is actually, you know, I think if when I was a younger Christian, I would say, you know, I was taught to do my quiet time, and I did my quiet time, and I did my Bible reading, and I ticked the box, and I did my prayers. And then it was as if I went out into the day, if you like, on my own. You get your quick input of energy from God. And then if you like, you walk through the day on your own. That's how I sort of was brought up, and that's how it felt to me. But, you know, what God's taught me more than anything is just, what does it mean to walk through our whole days with God? That icon, some of you will know, that has been really important to me on the journey. It's sometimes called Christ and the Unknown Disciple. A picture of the disciple with Jesus with his arm round the person. Jesus has got the big, big book of all that you need, and the little person's got a little scroll of just what they need at that time. And I find that icon so helpful for me, just as I'm in my day, just as I'm standing up to preach, to think Jesus is next to me with his arm round me. Or I'm in a difficult meeting, Jesus is next to me with his arm round me, giving me what I need. Or I'm in the midst of a family, interesting afternoon. Jesus is next to me with his arm round me, giving me what I need. And therefore, just that picture helps me to think, well, actually, I can just talk to God like I would a friend next to me. And I found that really helpful to do that. As a reviewing your day is something that I'd put on the mailing too. And just to say, you know, we have a whole load of resources that I put some links on from the mailing this week. I've printed some of those things out that are outside, some just guides that you might like to go and have a look at. There's a table outside. Go and help yourself. We'll go and look on the websites. And we'll talk more about these in the coming weeks. But we want to journey with you and support with you in your life of being a disciple. And just as I finish, you know, there's an important dimension too, isn't there, which we see from the Hebrews reading. Because actually those three dimensions of discipleship don't happen just on our own. You know, what Jesus does is he just doesn't take those individuals and say, right, I'm going to have a meeting with you at 9 o'clock tomorrow, and then I'll meet the next one at 10 o'clock, and the next one at 11 o'clock. Jesus draws a group together. He disciples in community, doesn't he? He trained them together. Why? I think so that he could spur one another on, so they could learn from each other, so they could probably have conflict and learn how to deal with it, so they could practice on each other before going out, so they could give each other courage. There's a lovely phrase which I have used before, which talks about having a courage buddy. You know, someone actually can give you courage to step out and do those things which you wouldn't otherwise have the courage to do. That's why, you know, life groups, prayer partners, coming to church is so important. Because this following Jesus is hard. It's not easy. There'll be times, as I know, looking around here, where people are in desperate situations. And we need to do it together. And we need to walk together with Jesus. Hebrews 10, let us consider how may we spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, giving each other courage, and all the more as you see the day approaching. One last comment, quote that I came up with, found this week from the American Francis Chan. He says, true discipleship involves deep relationships. Jesus didn't simply lead a weekly Bible study. He lived a life. He lived life with his disciples and taught through actions as well as words. Discipleship isn't about, here's the set of rules, go and follow. Discipleship is about deep relationship with Jesus. Learning about how you can deepen that relationship, having that relationship. Deep relationship with each other. Learning how we can have relationships where we spur one another on. And the life group notes this week, and if you're not in a life group, you know, I really encourage you to get in a life group. Val, where are you? Go and talk to Val at the back. If you're not in a life group, she'll be on the welcome desk. Go and talk to her about particular groups. If you're not in a life group, I encourage you to look at the life group notes as well. And one of the questions I ask is, how can we, as we look at the way Jesus discipled his disciples, how can we learn how to be in our groups with each other? How can we disciple each other in our groups and be in relationship with each other? What can we learn from Jesus? So, the invitation from Jesus to each and every one of us is not invite me into your life, but come follow me into my life for you. Come follow me into the adventure which I want to take you in. Come and join me in bringing in my mission in this world. Come and walk with me through the difficulties, the struggles of life. Know that I'm there with my arm around you, being with you. Come and join community and learn to do this, to walk together, to give each other courage. I wonder where we are as we finish. I'd just like to encourage you just to pause for a moment and just ask God, what do you want me to take from today? What does Jesus want to say to each of us in our own situations today? Let's just pause and be still. Just wonder whether for some people Jesus is saying, actually, you've been living your life, inviting me into your life, and now actually I want you to leave your nets and to step out where it's scary and to perhaps follow me to new places and trust me because I've got a great adventure for you. So maybe there are others who actually, if you think about the being with and the sending out, actually you're doing a lot of sending out, you're doing a lot of giving to others and serving. But actually, maybe that's not that fruitful, or you're just exhausted, or you're not seeing the power that you want to see. You know, Jesus says to you, the being with empowers the sending out. Actually, come and be with me. And as you are with me, take that time to be with me and let me empower you and fill you. When you go out, you'll be so much more effective. And to those of you who are in a difficult place today, just perhaps that image of that icon of Jesus with his arm around you, giving you all you need, just as you need it, is what Jesus wants to say to you. I'm with you. I'm right beside you. I'm walking this through together with you. Don't be afraid. Trust me and follow me in that place. And if there's anyone here who has never said to Jesus, I want to follow you, I want to make that step to follow you, then, you know, I'd love to talk to you afterwards and give you something to read and go away and just work out how we can help you in that journey, to start your journey. Because it's the most significant step that you will ever take to respond to Jesus' call to follow me. I'm going to invite the band to come up and we're going to sing a song of response, really, and you may want to just sit and pray. You may want to just dwell on what God's been saying. You may want to sing as a response. You may even want to come up and get someone to pray with you. You know, I'm here. Maybe others will come up at the front and pray, or turn to someone and ask them to pray for you. But we're going to sing, May the Words of My Mouth. And one of the phrases in that is this, which is not to be sung lightly. And I will give my all to you, Jesus. Surrendering everything I have and follow you. And maybe we're not even in that place to say that, but maybe we want to be in that place to say that, and maybe just say it, saying, God, I want to be able to say that today as a response to him. Let's stand if you're able and just respond as you need to.
And the deeds of the day and the Please be seated. Let us pray. Father God, we ask you to hear our prayers today. May the Holy Spirit prompt us with people and situations to lift up to you both now and through the week ahead. Almighty God, we pray for our town and all who live and work here, for those who have just arrived, those who have been here a long time, and those just passing through. We pray that we may be effective witnesses in our community. Help us to spot opportunities to share your love and talk of your goodness. We pray for the staff and pupils of our local schools. We thank you that members of our ministry team have been welcomed in, and we pray that through this work, the children and staff become aware of your love for them. We pray for the work of the Octagon Centre. May it shine brightly as a beacon of love and hope in the community. We pray particularly for the relationships that are built there and ask that you will continue to draw people in. In a moment of silence, we pray for any aspect of life in Malvern that is in our hearts today. We pray for all those affected by the appalling plane crash in Nepal, where dozens of people have been killed, for their families and friends, and all the rescue workers and medics involved in the aftermath. We pray too for the 7-year-old girl that's in a critical condition after being shot near a church in London yesterday. We pray for healing and for peace and for comfort for her family and friends and the wider communities affected. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. Lord, we ask for peace, for reconciliation and comfort for all those who don't know what tomorrow will bring. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done. In a moment of silence, we pray for our world and for the many heartbreaking situations people are finding themselves in. Loving God, we know that there are many people who are struggling due to illness, financial problems, loneliness, or the loss of a loved one. Bring healing to those who are enduring pain. Bring value to those who are disregarded. Bring joy to those in great sorrow. Bring hope to those that have nothing to live for. Bring provision to those who are hungry. Bring shelter to those without a home. Bring community to those who are lonely. In a moment of silence, we pray for people known personally to us that are in particular need of God's help. Merciful God, we ask you to draw close to all of those lifted up silently in prayer so that they may be aware of your healing presence and to provide your peace and comfort for them at this time. Father God, we thank you for the huge number of people who serve in so many different ways in our church. They are making a difference, and we want to pray for each one of them today. May they know how much we appreciate them and how much we value their willingness to serve amongst us. For those that don't know how valuable they are, may they be reminded by those around them who do know their worth. For those who have forgotten their purpose and need encouragement, may they find it in your word and with fellowship with us. For those that feel unqualified or inadequate at times, may you empower them to not give up on themselves or their calling. For those who are weary, give them rest and raise up others to serve alongside them, to strengthen and support them. May they be blessed by their work and grow in their love and understanding of you. In a moment of silence, we lift up in prayer individuals and teams who serve here at St Andrew's. Almighty God, strengthen our faith so that your presence may be seen clearly in all that we do and say each day throughout the coming week. Amen.
Well, we are coming towards the end of our service now. I just wanted to remind us of a verse that we heard in that first reading from Mark, where Jesus said, "The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near." And that's why we're here, isn't it? To help build the kingdom of God in our community and amongst the people God leads us to. So we're going to sing a final song now, reflecting that, which is "Build Your Kingdom Here." So please stand if you're able, and we'll sing that together. do take a seat.
I just want to say one more thing, and I want to go back to where we started with Simon and Tara at the beginning. What they shared was about their journey, or Tara particularly, about how she started her discipleship journey at Pathfinders all those years ago. Simon's sharing his passion for how he's serving with others in Pathfinders there now. I just want to encourage you by saying Helen Attree, our Children and Families Minister, put together a list this week of the number of children we are regularly in contact with, children and youth regularly in contact with. It is just about 100. Now, I think that's amazing. You know, we had 45 early birds this morning, and including two new families who'd come through baptism and other contacts. You know, God is bringing children and young people here. This discipleship is actually for them more than anyone else. And I just want to say, as we finish here, you know, many of us are here because people took time to journey with us, to disciple us, to mentor us. We are still very stretched with our children and young people's work. If God calls anyone, if you sense of anyone, if you sense yourself or an idea about anyone, just please do come and talk to us. You know, one of the things we got this morning, you know, Sylvia Knott, some of you know Sylvia. Sylvia comes to Early Birds now and serves coffee at Early Birds. And, you know, that is a way of really being there, ministering to our children and families. It doesn't have to be the upfront stuff. It might be the making cakes. It might be the other practical stuff. But let's pray and let's really make sure that our young people get what many of us had. And I wanted to, I'd love, you know, our town to be blessed by what goes on here too. So if that stirs anyone, please do talk to myself or Liz particularly, or Tristan or Polly here, who are kicking off a new sort of style of chaos tonight with Colwell Community Church Youth Group, who are coming to join us. There's lots going on. We'd love to have you join us.
Do you know, I'd really endorse that. My three girls all came through the church, and you know, I see them living lives that reflect that input they had. So thank you so much, everybody. Just say there is coffee and tea, I assume, if people want to stay. If any of you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, perhaps it's not something you're familiar with or you want to find out more, I'm sure Dave would be happy to talk to you, and there is literature outside as well. Do ask somebody about the opportunities to find out more about how to follow Jesus, how to meet him perhaps for the first time. We'd love to speak to you. And if anyone wants prayer for anything, also we would love to do that with you. So just to finish off, rather than me reading something out, I thought let's be community. Let's do it together. And just a little bit further on in Hebrews from what we read, it says this: let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. The New Testament talks a lot about walking with Jesus, following Jesus as a race. It's something we're in for the long term. So I thought it'd be great if we could say these words together as community to encourage each other in that race, in that pilgrimage. So let's say together: God of our pilgrimage, you have led us to the living water. Refresh and sustain us as we go forward on our journey. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you all. And bless you all this week in whatever you might be doing. Thank you.
Thank you.